Just gonna set a timer so I don't get too verbose. Wanna thank Belmont Church and Eric for welcoming back. I think the last time we had some acoustic problems, so you didn't actually hear my sermon. So that's probably how I got to the pulpit a second time. And you're just so patient and understanding. For those who I'm reintroducing myself or introducing myself, my name is Casey Burnett. Eric and I had the great blessing of being neighbors for 7 years. We've lived across the parking lot in our complex, had many a hour debate on all things theology, current events, history, interpretation of scriptures. I am not schooled like he is. I am schooled in just being a nerd of scripture. That's my own self-describe. I'm also trained in counseling at Naropa, also where Aniva got her degree, but I was in a different program. And so it was very powerful to have history of studying scripture through my teens and 20s to then in my late 20s spend time in this Tibetan influence group and see where there's intersection or fresh perspectives I could gain by bringing insights to it. So that's a little bit about me. And I'm a member of Trinity Lutheran Church up on Broadway here in Boulder. I've been a member since the day I arrived. In fact, when it used to be a parking lot, I came from a camping trip and was brushing my teeth in the parking lot, and the then pastor was shaking my hand out there, and I never looked for a different congregation. And I want to give that kind of precursor because I will be mentioning a whole nother tradition. We're here about a Presbyterian church, guy from the ELCA giving the sermon, and I'll be talking a lot about Roman Catholics. So, it's a toss of the dice this morning. What do we have here? I had notes. Sometime in April, I started reading a book by Father Richard Rohr called Everything Belongs. And in it, he spends time exploring themes in Jesus's ministry. And one of those themes is seeing clearly. And so this is a meditation that I've been having since about April, looking at myself, looking at groups I'm a part of, looking at society as a whole about, well, what's the contrast to seeing clearly? The extreme of that is blindness. And I'm very interested to take and understand the lessons of scripture in the communities that are relating to God then and seeing what applicability and challenge and transformation they offer me today. Because today is the day I'm living. We will first look at Paul. So here we have Paul. You know the story. His self-described boasting and arrogance is like above some of the best. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm a tribe of Benjamin. I was doing everything right. He writes this about himself, self-admitted in one of his letters. But at this time when we meet him in Acts, he's having an encounter with God. And while the text says, and a lot of commentaries talk about this as a punishment of Paul, that blindness, being struck blind, was a punishment, I'm going to take a slightly different perspective and say that Paul was already blind. That he believed he understood what his community was to do to honor God. He understood because he had the right group of people. He was part of the Pharisees. He had the right lineage. He was part of the tribe of Benjamin. He knew that his persecution of these troublesome followers of the way was the thing to do. And so I'm taking a kind of thought experiment of saying, Paul was already blind. And when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, it became apparent. He realized his blindness for 3 days. Three humiliating, humbling, vulnerable days. (Clears throat) I'm going to talk about my own blindness. So, I don't know why I'm feeling tearful about it, but I was born and raised the edge of suburbia. A wonderful, caring family, three older brothers. My dad owns his own, or he did own his own plumbing company, right there on our 5 acres, bordering Michigan and farmland. I grew up going and running errands with my mom, listening to WPOS, We Praise Our Savior Radio, hearing many of the radio preachers you may know or love to despise. And then working with my dad through middle school, high school, and college, listening to talk radio, all the stalwarts of conservative thinking that you know from the late 80s, 90s, and internal millennium. And my brothers who are still in the plumbing still listen to that. And as do I. I actually find listening to many voices helpful. But where I want to go with this is the story of my blindness. Here I am raised into a world in which my dad had overcome numerous hardships and setbacks, not what this is about. And so the message I inherited was that you had to do it yourself. And so he has, my brothers and I are very successful by modern senses. But fast forward, I go to college, graduate, and I joined a program called the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. And in the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, I am placed with other volunteers. We're all working with nonprofits. There's six of us in this house in Seattle. And the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, I happened to work at a housing project for men and women who had been homeless. And I'm going to tell you the story of one of them. Bobby, in his 20s, was working a factory job. And on the job, he got injured by negligence of some equipment failing. And so he goes on disability, he has workman's comp, and the company he's working for wants to cut him off. So he gets involved in a lawsuit because it was clearly negligence, and his lawyer, it's like they have a really strong case, there's like not even a doubt. But we have a process of due process for both the defendant, in this case the company, and so it takes years and years. Well, in that time, Bobby's lawyer encouraged him to not work because it would weaken the case and reduce what was rightfully his for getting work injured on the job. So Bobby sat at home, hung out with friends, watched sports, drank more and more. And slowly he ate through his savings because he hadn't gotten any money from the injury settlement, and had found himself homeless in Tacoma. And so Bobby lived on the streets of Tacoma for many years and found alcohol as a salve. The gravitational force of substance abuse is strong for many. And this is where I then meet Bobby. He has been housed at the Wintonia, which is ran by the Archdiocese of the Catholic Church in Seattle. And I'm listening to this story. And it was a moment in which the scales on my eyes became clear. And had I met Bobby just at a soup kitchen in passing, or if I had met Bobby just in a brief conversation or when he was panhandling, the Casey who only had a family perspective of overcoming challenges of your own volition and skill and strength would have seen Bobby as having character flaws or failing to make choices that were best for him. And here I was, living in this community where we did regular reflections on scripture around the values of the program of simplicity, justice, work, spirituality, and I can't remember the fourth one at the moment. I should take better notes before I give a sermon. But so the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, I was in a place where I was constantly stirring up and getting exposed to a part of my faith tradition that I hadn't been fostering. And so the story of Bobby, for me, is a time that I still meditate on, that I finally saw the scales. And I think I'm still getting them washed away. I'm still going to Ananias, as Paul does later in the text, and having those washed away. We'll circle back to Paul later. So that's one type of blindness. But there are other types of blindness. There's a type of blindness of which slowly creeps in without us knowing it. And the story, the whole title of this sermon, Window Washing, comes from that it's summertime. And it's summertime at my childhood home on the edge of these farm fields was a lot of time my mom spent washing windows. Because every time she washed them, it would get windy, rain would come through, and they would get dirty again. But being, you know, in my own world, I have never really noticed them dirty. I could go days, weeks, if she was traveling or away, they would just be dirty. My glasses get dirty. She would take them off in church and clean them. I'd be like, oh, I had no idea they were that dirty. It's the type of slow losing of vision that maybe some of you or family or friends know that is the encroachment of cataracts too. That slow creeping that once it's treated, it's like, wow, I had no idea. And I think in 2023, in a world in which we have so many different types of inputs of information that we can get spots of dirt on the lenses of our hearts and minds quicker than we realize it. Whether that's your favorite or least favorite news channel, whether that's your favorite or least favorite member of the congregation speaking to you on their views of some matter, it's easy to see that interaction through dirt and grime that has collected on the lenses of our hearts, the cognitive cataracts, I would like to call them. And so how do these get clean? So this was a hard bit for me to come to as I reflected on this text, because I've been in my own tumult, my own vexation around this in society and working with people who I'm not certain what is clear. And I was like, well, where is hope in this? I've actually been in long conversations with Eric, with, well, sorry, there's a member of our church here named Eric as well, but different Eric, you're Eric, Eric Gardner, and with other members about like, where can I find hope? Where do we find hope in scripture? And so this is where I'm gonna shift from blindness and those two types of blindness to hope. We have in Jesus, in both, actually even in Psalms, so in all three scripture reflections this morning, we have people who encounter God. And in that encounter, there is fresh seeing. There is clarity. There is visibility. And to me, that is my first hope. My first hope is that each of us, each congregation, each city, each state, each nation, the whole world, we can continue to have encounters with God, that we might have the lenses of our soul cleaned. Two, I think we have a great many gifts from the history of Christendom, the inheritance of simple practices that help us tune in to those encountering moments. Community prayer, reflection on other people's encounters with God in scripture. Giving, what's the 160 hours of service work, the sitting and being in relationship with stranger. These give me hope. And so I wonder now in closing, like Paul, or not, sorry, not like Paul, like David, how can we have a prayer, an ongoing prayer, that we ask for a new heart to be created in us, that it can be clean, that we can go about and see more clearly, and that we can both acknowledge the blindness that we have inherited by society or culture, or the blindness that has been put on us by the specks of rain and dust in the storms of society today, and that we can continue to encounter God revealed in Jesus to see clearly just a little bit more in each moment.